Well, good morning. We're coming to the end now of our series ongoing, and which started way back in September with our series on what was it? Growing, and then the series on giving. Those three together are three basic sets of values that we believe as leaders that we want to see, that God wants to see really in our church. He wants to see in each of us as individuals as well as a church. And so, although we're coming to the end, as I said, of the series, don't please think, well, next time, September, we're going to be doing something totally different and that's gone, tick the box. It's not about that, because we believe that we should be continually growing, giving, and going. And that leads me to what I'm going to talk about today. When I started preparing for this a few weeks ago, I had something very clearly in mind, and I was stopped in my quiet time. I was reading stopped me, and I felt God saying, this is what you should be talking about. So sometimes you have to be prepared to sort of change tack slightly. And then last week, of course, Dave spoke on finishing well, didn't he? And that was exactly what God had told me about before I'd heard Dave's talk. So he didn't steal my thunder, and I will let him off. Now, what Dave said, I think it was a good preparation for what we're going to do today. Now, I know many of you here today would probably agree with Henry Ford, who once said, history is bunk, that it's of little interest or value. But, you know, we do ignore history as our peril. I've been reading through the Old Testament in my daily Bible readings, and I'm currently working my way through the second book of Chronicles. And as I read these stories, I'm reminded that, as someone once said, the only thing we learn from history is that we don't learn from history. The passage I'm going to be looking at today, as I said, is in 2 Chronicles, and it deals with a man called King Asa. He's a typical example of this. The Jews as a nation had split into two. Judah and Benjamin, based around Jerusalem, were abandoned by the other 10 tribes of Israel who were based around Samaria. This happened as a result of rebellion against God, politics, and other religions coming in, causing divisions amongst God's people. Asa was one of David's great grandsons who became king over Judah. And if you've got a Bible, and you should really, if you want to really learn from God, bring your Bibles on a Sunday morning. If you've got your Bible, open it at 2 Chronicles, chapter 14, and we're going to start from verse 2. I think it's going to go up on the screen. But don't, even though we're putting it up on the screen, I'm going to be referring to other bits of the chapter, so keep your Bibles open if you've got your Bibles. And if you haven't got a Bible, as I said, bring it along, because if I say anything that's not, doesn't agree with what the Bible says, then please take me to task.
It's chapter 15.
No, it isn't. It's chapter 14. That's right. He's ahead of me. Chapter 14, verse 2 says this: Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He removed the foreign altars and the high places, smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and to obey his laws and commands. He removed the high places and incense altars in every town in Judah, and the kingdom was at peace under him. He built up the fortified cities of Judah, since the land was at peace. No one was at war with him during those years, for the Lord gave him rest. We'll just leave it there for now. The Bible says, Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He saw that his nation was slipping further and further away from God, allowing the values and practices of those other faiths living in the land to shape them. They'd started to practice idol worship, child sacrifice, and various other abominations, setting up wooden images, sacred pillars and altars to these gods. In some cases, they'd actually brought stuff into the very temple of God that were nothing to do with God. They'd let, as one translation of Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, they'd let the world squeeze them into its mold. They'd accepted the values of the present time rather than those God had instilled in their people over many hundreds of years. And don't we do that? What we see in films and on TV, what we read, the music we listen to, the words and actions of those we come across each day, all reflect the values of this present age. And as they wash over us, some may stick. And gradually more will stick on top of that. And we'll begin to tolerate and begin to do ourselves things that God doesn't want us to do. So Asa removed the altars and idols. He commanded the people to seek God and to do his will. And in doing this, he turned the nation around spiritually. And the Bible says in verse 5 of 2 Chronicles 14, the kingdom was quiet under him. There was peace. Now, sometime later, an army from Ethiopia came to wage war on Judah. Asa was faced with an army vastly outnumbering his own. Did he flee? Did he surrender? When things start going wrong for us, whether it's redundancy, money problems, family issues, what do? Do we pretend it's not happening? Do we hide? Do we run away? Well, we should do what Asa did. He cried to God, verse 11, help us, O Lord, our God, for we rest on you. In your name we go against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. And what did God do? God caused Asa's outnumbered army to completely defeat the Ethiopians. The lesson there for us is pretty clear. As we cry out to God about these things in our lives that threaten to overcome us, that threaten to destroy us, we will experience victory if we cry out to God. Returning in victory after routing the Ethiopians, Asa was met by the prophet Azariah, who told him, "The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." One of the many ways that God speaks to us today, apart from the Bible, which is the main way, is through prophetic words from people. People who are maybe not necessarily close to us or close friends, but who God uses to talk these things to us. These words will often encourage, but they won't always be what you want to hear. I wonder, Are you open to what God could be saying prophetically into your life? And are you looking for those that can speak those words into your life? Now, this prophecy, which was later confirmed by another prophet, had the effect of spurring Asa on to do more reform in his life and the lives of those he ruled. He removed idols from anywhere in the country and even those territories over which they'd won in battle. He called the people to worship and pray to God together. Interesting. Do we encourage each other enough to pray and worship together? Not just here on Sunday morning, but do we do enough to encourage other members of our church family to be there when the church family get together, when we pray, when we're here tonight, when we're praising God or when we're praying? And Asa even removed his own mother from a position of power. Why? Because she was causing the people to worship pagan gods. I wonder, is our desire for God's will to be done greater than even family ties? There's a well-known expression, blood is thicker than water, which is often used to reinforce this idea that family should come first in life. But I wonder, did you know that this expression is actually a corruption of an old proverb which says, the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb. It really means the opposite. The ties involving covenant agreement and sealed in blood are greater than those of family. And isn't this what Jesus was getting at when he said in Matthew 10:35, I've come to set a man against his father, against a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And in Mark 3:31, when Jesus' mother and family attempt to interfere with his ministry, he says to those around him, here are my mother and brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother, my sister, and my mother. So, with all this going for him, you think Asa would go down as the most successful godly king in Judah's history. Not quite. For 25 years, things went well, and there was peace in the land. Then the king of Israel decided to fight against Judah. He began to build a fort at Ramah, from which he could threaten the city of Jerusalem. Now, after all that had happened to Asa, you'd think he'd know the right thing to do. Did he learn from the past? No. Instead of calling out to God, he sold the family silver. He took silver and gold from the temple treasury and gave it to the Syrian king Ben-Hadad, who was an ally of the king of Israel. He encouraged Ben-Hadad to attack Israel's army. Now, in doing so, he bought his help and rescued Judah from Israel's threat. Now, you'd think that seems a logical thing to do. And indeed, it was something that other kings at the time did. They would give gold and silver to another king to get him to come onto their side and so change the balance of power. But you know, it's all too easy when faced with a major life challenge to act in response to circumstances. Worry and anxiety demand that we do something. And so do we. We tend to look at the choices we have and then act. But the Bible, you know, points us to another way. Proverbs chapter 3. And verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. You know, I think that there are some here or listening to this who are in that position now. Something's happened, or maybe something is about to happen in your life, and you feel you must act. But before you do, God's saying, ask me. As Asa did when threatened by Ethiopia. As you may have done in the past. Because you know God has a plan for your life. As he did for Asa. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord in Jeremiah 29. Plans for good and not for evil. Plans to give you hope and a future. This is talking to you. Will you seek God before doing something? He's saying to you, if you seek me and find me, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And if you need help, ask someone today to pray with you. Asa didn't when confronted by the threat from Israel. So God sent a prophet called Hanani to him with a stark message. And that's found in chapter 16 of 2 Chronicles. And I'll read that from verses 7 onwards. And it says this. At that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you relied on the king of Syria and not the Lord your God, the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Were not the Ethiopians and Libyans a mighty army with great numbers of chariots and horsemen? Yet when you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You have done a foolish thing, and from now on, you will be at war. It's hard stuff, isn't it? Because he'd relied on himself to get his country out of the mess that it faced, despite God delivering them previously from far worse opposition, there were consequences. Owing to Asa's foolish act, this threat of war from Israel was going to be replaced by actual wars in the future, with Syria amongst others. And you know, there could be consequences for you if you act without asking God. Asa's response to Hanani's prophetic words reveal how deaf he'd become to God's voice. This is in verses 7 to 9. Instead of receiving and acting on them, he became angry with the prophet. And that anger caused him to have Hanani imprisoned and tortured for what he said. He did what we say today, he shot the messenger. The Bible goes on to say that Asa began oppressing some of the other people. And it could well be that those people that he oppressed were those who showed sympathy for the prophet and what he said. If you're a Christian, you're a disciple. And one of the keys to being a disciple of Jesus is to develop the discipline that encourages others to speak into your life. Jesus sometimes spoke hard things to his disciples, especially Peter. Remember once he said to him, get thee behind me, Satan, to something Peter had said. And it caused some, like the rich ruler, to turn away from Jesus even before becoming a disciple. And it caused other disciples, when they'd heard his words, to turn away and cease following him. Today, I'd encourage you, if you're a Christian, to open yourself to at least one person who is mature in the faith, who you can trust to speak God's truth into your life. You won't grow otherwise. You won't become that disciple that you should be otherwise. And I'd like to encourage those of you who are able to begin looking for those younger in the faith who you can disciple, speaking God's truth into their lives. Even if, like Hanani, it costs you, and it can be costly to speak God's truth into other people's lives. One more observation. The cost of choosing to ignore God can even have consequences that can affect your health. Towards the end of his reign, Asa was afflicted with a disease in his feet that was very severe. We don't know what it was, but the Bible says that he chose not to seek God about this, but doctors. Now, the implication here is that he could have received healing from God if he'd asked, but he chose not to. Now, I'm not for a moment suggesting that we should ignore doctors or medicine and just pray for healing, but if we've surrendered our lives to Christ, shouldn't we also look to him who says, "I am the Lord who heals you"? Asa started well, building on spiritual foundations modeled by his father, Abijah, and in his personal and public life put God first and followed him. He stayed strong through his middle years, developing his walk with God and remembering how God had worked in his life and that of his father. But when he began to ignore his past, the rot set in, spiritually, politically, and even physically. So, what can we learn from Asa? Those of you this morning who have just started your life journey as a disciple of Jesus, start well and stay strong. Get discipled. Listen to what God is saying and make the right choices. But it's not just about starting well or even staying strong. Important though these are, it's also about finishing well. And as I look around this morning at those of us who are no longer in the first flush of youth spiritually, I challenge us, me included, to finish well, not to ignore what's gone before. So, what's God saying to you today? And what are you going to do about it? Amen.